Hey there, Sean.
Hey, Pierce. How's it going?
It's pretty okay.
All right. That means it's time for another episode of the It's Pretty Okay podcast. Let's do it.
Let's start the show.
To have everyone here. You know, I think everyone makes a big deal out of New Year's, January 1st, as the time when you're going to implement all of these sort of new routines, and you're going to change who you are and be a better version of you. But you know what? That's bullshit, because you're still in the middle of the holidays and you're drinking and you're, you know, eating holiday type and holiday size meals around your family. And then
it gets dark at 5 p.m.
It gets dark at 5 p.m.
Five if you're lucky.
Right. February, it's still too fucking cold to do anything. So really, March 12th, I think, is about the first point in the year that anyone can be reasonably expected to make positive improvements in their life.
If you have a yearly March Madness trip, you might want to wait until
March 25th.
Well, so I think that's a really good point. And I brought this to you all because it is something I thought about. And I felt like the new year came for me, and I'm not a resolution person. But there had been some things, some threads that I was pulling and weaving together into something. I was like, is this going to be anything? And change takes a bit. Picking up new habits, rethinking your routines, the things that you're comfortable with, and kind of forcing some discomfort. And it takes a bit of time to realize if you have something new woven together. And I think that March is a really good time because we are, you know, you've had a sixth of the year, and now we're more than that. We're, I don't know, probably like approaching more than that, whatever that is, some number. And so the things I've been thinking about, I feel like have taken hold. And we've seen, it's actually really funny that the non-alcoholic beverage industry, which is so weird. It's like, well, all drinks that aren't alcohol are non-alcoholic beverages, but specifically things that are made to be like
non-alcoholic
beverages.
Clones of alcoholic beverages, yeah. Including in the most insane turn of events ever, non-alcoholic hard seltzer, a thing that existed before hard seltzer did.
You just cover up the thing. But that's all to say, like, that has become a huge industry.
Yeah.
And it's an outgrowth in many ways of this concept of dry January. And like, that's the thing coming out of the holidays is people like, I want to change my habits. But then they really don't, in that they just do it for a month and then they go back. And maybe you learn something. And I think what is indicative of we're in March and we're being reminded of how big an industry that is that habits are changing, but you really don't see it until later on. And to kind of make my point that I want to talk about is I think part of this in me being like, well, let me wait till March, and the feelings I have about it is as I get older, a year is about the shortest amount of time I can look at and go, okay, I can actually accomplish something. A week? What's a week? A month? That's so small in my life so far. But a year is really an amount of time where I can consider changing. And I'm curious if you all have felt that way at all.
I mean, I don't think I've ever sat down and thought of it explicitly in that way. But, like, the, you know, as you say it, there are aspects of that that certainly make sense to me. Any sort of short time span, it's, you know, when you're a young person with limited responsibilities in the world, you know, you can sort of approach things like that, like changing habits, on a pretty short time span, just because you have time to devote to stuff like that. And it's maybe not super likely that, like, the things that are required of you in your life are going to intrude. But I don't know. I mean, it really does. I mean, we're all, you know, we're all in our early 30s. And, you know, are, like, at the stage of life where either you're at, like, a kind of management level at work, and so you have more demands on you than a normal kind of 9-to-5 grunt level worker, or you know you're married and you have obligations to the person that you have committed to spend the rest of your life with, and those are, you know, those are things that you can't just brush aside because you really want to, you know, you want to commit to reading more. You know, you have to. I feel like the older we've gotten, the more you really have to, like, mold those sort of inward facing desires for, like, where can I fit, you know, taking care of myself, changing myself if there are things that I want to change. Like, really having to work that into the little cracks and spaces that you get on kind of a catch-as-catch-can basis. So, like, yeah, I'm vibing with this pretty heavy, even if I hadn't necessarily thought about it in such a considered way before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also think that over time, you kind of collect things, like you try out a lot of things in your, you know, young professional life, and some things catch and some things don't, but the things that catch, you know, a lot of them stick around for a bit. And so, you know, let's, if it's a new habit or a new tradition or a new, you know, whatever, they start to accumulate. And so that takes up even, like, starting to add things oftentimes might be subtracting one of those things that caught on.
Yeah. And I think we can't ignore the context of what year it is and what the last few years have been, because we all had this sort of shock to our systems in 2020, where, like, all of a sudden so many of your habits and your schedules and your routines just changed like that. And, you know, people picked up their pandemic hobbies and stuff. Some people who are well behind Pierce took up baking. A lot of people started listening to podcasts and subscribing to Substack newsletters, and just, like, even that kind of stuff really accumulates and overgrows. Like, I've hit a point where my email inbox is so saturated with newsletters that I went through yesterday and started writing down all of the different subscriptions, and I put one per line and realized that I had used up five lines on the third page of a legal pad because I had about 60 of them. I have like 60 regular recurring emails in my inbox, and that's not even, that's like purely newsletters, to say nothing of the deluge of like marketing communications and that sort of stuff. And like, my head is going to explode. And so like, I'm in this weird place where like, I don't get to any of it, you know, and wind up missing out on stuff that I kind of want to know, because mm-hmm. there's just so much stuff. So like, I am really having to actively try to like prune stuff out of my life, and it is fucking hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that there's something in there about, you know, Sean, you're dealing with this plenty, and it is too plentiful. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to set goals, I think there are two things that are important on both ends. It's, on the one hand, it should be something attainable. You know, 60, reading 60 newsletters is not attainable, or whatever it is. It is not attainable. On the other hand, having 5 and being, I must read these every day, is this binary goal that's really hard, and you're setting yourself up to fail. And this is something I've been learning a lot lately, which is that if you set certain goals and it's just like, I have to get there, and like each rung of the ladder, you have to step on that one or you failed. That's not good, because that's going to cause you too much stress, and you're going to feel, even if you get there, you're going to be like, I didn't hit every mark. And so I think of that in terms of that's with focusing on a year, that gives you time to go on different paths and everything. But I also think about, you know, doing something that's attainable and also not being, you know, so binary or particular about it. Max, I know for you, and we talked about this a little bit here and there, because we both have like gone through year-end processes and had to think about other people and how they set their goals. And I think one thing that has influenced my thinking of a year is getting really familiar with how you set goals for other people and how growth works and everything else, and how valuable a year can be. And I'm wondering if your experiences have kind of influenced how you think about a year at all.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about a year. I right off the bat, I would say that, you know, from a work perspective and like thinking about effectively judging other people's goal attainment or performance is like a constant reminder that a day or a week or even a month really don't matter, to your point. Like, I have to look back over at least 4 to 6 months to remind myself of, you know, whether any given person is doing well. So I think in a work respect, that makes sense. I think it's important to like use that for yourself as well. So like, I, you know, we mentioned there's goals, and then there's also like trying to build habits that are maybe towards a goal. So like, I've been, you know, trying to get more fit for a while. It's a pretty common goal people have some way or another. So like, try and go to the gym more. And any given week, it's like, oh, I only went once this week. Like, you might not feel good about it. And then I have to remind myself to look back over, you know, 6 months to a year, to your point, and be like, oh wow, I've actually gone a lot in a year. Like, it's an amount that all of a sudden I'm now proud of. And that I think helps to also look into the future and remind yourself that, again, a day or a week, to your point, really don't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's work performance or even, yeah, it's going to the gym. If you get sick, you know, it's not good to work out while you're sick for a lot of reasons, especially at a gym. So like, hey, you take a week off and that can feel like a bummer. And the first day back is exceptionally hard, especially if you're still kind of recovering. And you have to remind yourself, like, you know, this day doesn't matter. This week doesn't matter. I think if you're building the habits that are going towards, again, I don't know if it's directly goal related, but I think it's on the same vibe, which is like, yeah, I think trying to build those habits is important. But to Sean's point, at the end of your day, like, you can only have so many habits, and that's the tougher thing at this age now, is not having the time for everything you think you want to do, really.
So I think in some ways what we're talking about is like, to nitpick on the wording a little bit, because we are the words matter people. I'm not actually sure what we're saying is that a day or a week or a month doesn't matter, right? Like, it's not, because those are the building blocks. What you're describing is you can't judge the whole. That's not enough of a time, you know, that's way too short a timeline to like really assess, like, have I succeeded? But when you look back over that 6 month period, you are going to evaluate those smaller blocks, but also, like, you know, I mean, this is definitely a part of goal setting, is it, like, you know, what's the sort of corporate world framework, is it SMART goals, right? Like, fuck, I already forgot what S is. Specific, measurable, attainable, reasonable. No, reasonable is not. And time-based. So, like,
yeah,
when you are setting, like, even if you are setting, like, a year-long goal, a year, you can't just, like, not check in at all and look back at the end of a year and be like, well, have I done the thing or not? So, like, you are going to use smaller periods of time, and even smaller than 6 months, to, like, check in with yourself and say, like, you know, how does it feel like I'm doing? I think where it doesn't matter is, like, if you have a shitty week in terms of, like, attaining a goal that you've set for the year, like, you can't use that. You can't write the whole year off because of a bad week, or declare it succeeded and complete because of one good week. But those smaller building blocks do still matter, right?
Yeah. I think I misspoke in saying a day or a week doesn't matter. It's more like one day or one week don't matter when it comes to not making
it, yeah,
progress. And that goes for all the things I was talking about, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, Max, I understood what you were saying, and I think I'm thinking of an analogous situation as you're going through it. Is, you know, if you're reading a book, there can be you know, I think of Kevin, I think of the what is it, the golden screw story from Name of the Wind, and you have these, like, you could have a chapter or a line or the butt of a joke in a book, and, like, they can be really excellent, or you can be like, I really didn't like that. But you kind of have to look at the whole work, the intention behind it, and be like, okay, well, I see now why that was important, or why that turned me off, or, you know, I need to go back and reference that to really think about the whole. But you need the whole for the part to make sense. And so it's not that a day or a week or a month doesn't matter. It's just, it doesn't, in and of itself, it is not as important as the whole. And I think that helps me, as, you know, in my experience, like, I had a race recently, and it was my first, like, big race since I had to go to PT for a while. And that was and I think part of my thinking about, you know, the new year being a refresh and everything is like, okay, I've had to work, and now I'm at a point where I can set goals and think about this. And I ran the race, and, like, that was a good reminder. I came out of it, it's like, this is great that I did it, but if I'm going to continue to have long-term goals, I need to think about the whole thing. It's the training, and it's, you know, and it's the resting. I mean, the Nick Sirianni thing about attacking rest, and as we mentioned here, it's like, that is so dumb. But if what you mean to say is, like, every aspect builds up into that book, each chapter, each, you know, paragraph builds up into your whole, you know, one point of it, a milestone, is great, but, like, are you just doing that, or do you want something more? And so that's why I think a year is really good, is there are all these markers and milestones, and it's okay if you don't hit everyone, but you have to have an attainable, but like a wide enough look that you're not in this binary, like I passed or I failed that thing, which I've often done, and it sucks. It's terrible. Like if you're like, I need 100% on Dry January, and you have an event with friends where it's like a beer tasting or something, it's like, well, you know, is it about the intention or is it about the completeness?
Yeah, I think going back to what you were talking about at the beginning of like, that's the minimum amount of time that you can really kind of consider. I think that, you know, it makes sense that as you get older, like a year seems to go by faster because it was a smaller percentage of your life than the year before it. And to me, that's just really helpful with any of this in terms of like, if it is developing a new habit, like I've been learning how to play piano, and there'll be a couple of weeks where I feel like I really don't practice enough or all that well. And if I was 24, that would like drive me crazy. And I would like skip sleeping or something to try to like buy myself that extra 30 minutes. And now I'm kind of like, well, you know, if I do it right most of the time, I'll be okay. And there's already like too much, like there's already other stuff I want to do that like I can't even just buy myself 30 minutes by not sleeping because there's 10 things I want to do with it. But then, you know, you've got the yearly checkup. I get the Christmas book out, and on year two, I was able to learn songs like way faster than I was on year one, even though I didn't really like notice over time that even though I felt like I wasn't actually getting all that much better. So, just things go by so quickly that it's easy to kind of brush off the bad notes is what I think.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, that or playing guitar, like at the beginning, not only was it slow to learn and I'm sure very frustrating, but also as with a lot of these things we're talking about, your body literally hurts. Like you start playing the guitar and your fingers are like, hell no, I'm not going to do that. And so, I mean, right there, you're not going to learn how to do it in a day, and you have to be patient with yourself and be forgiving. And I think a lot of goals, people said, oh, you need to start rucking and you have to do this 45 minute workout every day. And that reminds me, Max, we talked about the thing you were trying to do with it's like working out and reading and everything else. And I remember you were kind of giving yourself some space with that, which is, I want to do this. I like the ideas behind it, but I am not going to be so rigid about it because I need to be honest with myself. And I think that was really instructive and helpful for goal setting.
Yeah. I am curious if you all have goals. I mean, there's a difference between like I don't actually have explicit goals that I've set for myself really in any facet of life, including work. And I think I'm supposed to have them at work, but I've never done that. But like, I think of this as both like there's goals and then there's like habit settings. So like, I guess if I think about it, like I am trying to go to the gym more, and is like, is there a goal there? Like, I guess I could put one together, but I don't actually have one. And it does make it a little tougher to, again, I look back cause I feel like, oh, like I'm not, you know, I'm not going enough. And then I have to look back over the 6 months or a year and be like, oh wow, actually, I guess I am. But like without a goal, Do you think you need the actual goal to measure things? And does that kind of take away from things that are there for pleasure? Like if you write a measurable goal to learn the piano, does that take away some of the nature of it that you're just trying to do something fun?
Well, I would say that like for Kevin, what he has done is now he is someone who plays the piano. He's not learning how to play piano. I mean, he is, but you're not learning how to play piano. You are someone who plays the piano. And Max, maybe you're to a point now where you are someone who like looks forward to and goes to the gym regularly. And I think that those are very holistic. They are habits. Like it is a habit. It is something you do. And I know for me, for running, the way I've like refocused myself is a holistic thing, which is, I know I can do this thing, but how can I do it consistently and just know that I can? And it's like, well, I gotta do these other things. And so the goal is something kind of, I guess, you know, ineffable. It's just like, it is what I am. It is what you do. And, you know, Sean, we talked about all the newsletters and everything, but there's something there, I would imagine, for you. It's like, I want these things to be in my orbit. I want them to be things that I read and keep up on, but I don't want it to be a hill that I can't just live with.
Yeah. I mean, I think I am thinking about this particular question in the same way that, like, when we talked about giving yourself a gift, that I had a much more sort of expansive definition of what that entails than any of you. And, like, I think that sort of thing applies here. Like, the idea of, well, if I'm doing it because it's a goal I set, like, that takes away some of the enjoyment for me. Like, I don't know. I'm not saying that you are wrong if you feel that way. Like, I can wrap my head around the logic, but it's not like that for me. I don't think, just because, you know, in this framework where you are having to really sort of make time for the things that, I mean, part of what we're talking about is, like, making time for things that give you joy. And I think you can look at the sort of goal setting and sort of systematizing of that as, like, I am setting up a framework that allows me to do this thing that brings me joy. Because, like, playing the piano, it's not a chore. Practicing the piano maybe feels like a chore sometimes, but, like, you are doing that in service of, like, having a new skill that you are going to, you know, presumably you're not doing it if you don't actually want to play the piano. You know what I mean? Like, people who set goals about reading books, you know, maybe it's because you feel like it's important to take in X amount of information to, you know, to gain some new knowledge. But, like, also reading books is great. So, like, I think there's a lot of room here for sort of giving yourself grace and a little leeway to, you know, to not let, you know, goal setting and habit forming detract from the sort of end joy.
Yeah, Max. And I think it's also about a balance of, like,
yeah.
I guess what I was thinking about was when you set goals for too many things, then all of a sudden you feel like you have no free time. Like, I have goals for myself. Like, oh, I want to smoke more meats on my grill. And if that was a goal, I mean, you're laughing, but seriously, it's like, oh, I wish I did that more. And I think about all these things. If you set goals for all these things and all of a sudden you no longer have what I would call, like, genuine free time, oh, I'm obligated to smoke meat today. Like, that is absurd. That's absurdity taken too far. So I think for certain things it makes sense. Things that are measurable, mm-hmm. learning a new skill, things like that. There are other things where I set, like, oh, I wish I baked more baked goods. But I don't think I want to, I don't know that that necessarily should be a goal for myself, because, you know, that has to be a bit spontaneous.
I see what you're saying.
I don't know.
If you have a goal of, for these 30 days, I'm going to eat this every day, or I'm going to read a book every 2 days for this month, or the smoking of meats, I think that there's a difference. And I think of Kevin's example, you know, something not being a chore, like, it starts to be, feel like a chore. Then you do it because you've set this marker. And I think with these things that matter more and you give more time to, you are more patient with, you know, the why of it, you know, Max, you've thought about the why of going to the gym more, and you've stayed consistent with it. And, you know, Kevin, you've obviously stayed consistent with the piano, and I think you look forward to it. So a lot of times these goals where they're really binary and you have all these rungs that you have to touch each one, it is because that is the only way, that is the only ladder. And I think that this is much more like a tree, and there are many branches, and you can climb the tree in different ways. And you can be thoughtful about why you go the route you do. And I think that knowing that why and taking time with it, you end up with like, okay, maybe you didn't get 100% on the goal test, but that's okay. Because there are, you know, you knew why.
So Pierce, I'm wondering if anything has changed with you kind of being a homeowner, and I guess kind of feeling like you are perhaps in your forever city, at least. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like even still I'm in this mode where like I do have to think about things for a year because I have like a lease.
Yeah. I think a year is still helpful because you have these four seasons and you go through them, or you go through 12 months and you can track things. I joke, but it is true, is the first year of home ownership is really the second year in the house, because you see all the things you said you'd do in the first year and you didn't do. That's really the same framework here, is you have to have times to check yourself. And if you start saying, I need to get this done this month, that's going to be impossible. Like, I have some stuff going on at my house right now, and it's taken a month, and it was supposed to take 2 weeks, but that's okay. And part of it was getting trees taken down, and that took a week, and I was okay with it, because some people have these crews come out and they take the trees down in a day. And for me, the trees were there. The trees had been there for a long time, but I had watched them for 3 years. I'm like, what's five more days? It took a lot to get and make this decision. The decisions within it, how many trees to get down. And I thought so long about the why, I can be patient with getting through this milestone. And so, yeah, I mean, owning a home is a helpful thing, but not everybody can do that. But like, I think most people can realize, all right, a lot of times when I do stuff for a month or a week, that's really hard because things sometimes change really quickly. So if I can slow down and think of a year, I give myself more opportunity for the times that are leaner or tougher, and those will come. And I think if you accept that, you know, there could be a big rainstorm, you can't do what you want to do, that makes a huge difference in doing that, like accepting that you don't have to get 100%.
Yeah, and by way of sort of moving us toward the end here, I wonder if there's also part of this is like, as you describe getting to the first year of homeownership and realizing all of the things that you didn't do, or even just thinking about, you know, the initial premise of like, we're having this conversation in March instead of January, and some of the fraught issues with New Year's resolutions, you know, like, I think there's also room for sort of an acceptance that, you know, if you're setting goals or trying to form new habits, like the early stages of those things tend to really require a lot of attention and focus and commitment. And so, like, I really do think that one of the places where like resolution people run into issues is that they hit January 1st and are like, okay, it's time to flip the switch on five new things about myself. And you're not going to get even one of those right. And so, like, no. you the balance is like, I have to maybe kind of really dive into this one pool in January and February. And then once I feel like I have a handle on that and have started sort of moved into more of an intermediate stage and have started making some progress on that, maybe then you kind of figure out what you can introduce next rather than overloading yourself. 'Cause like that, I mean, that's you know, whoever is giving you advice, like the, you know, the thing that you hear all the time with, you know, fitness or, you know, changing your eating habits, like if weight loss is the thing that you're trying to get to, or just like improving your diet, is like, you're not the only thing that is sustainable is doing something that you like, that you can stick with for a long time. Like whatever crash diet helps you lose 20 pounds, like as soon as you stop it, you are going to gain the weight back. You might even go past where you were at the beginning. So like, it's all about the balance of finding, you know, finding the sort of smaller changes that you can make over a longer period. And like, I mean, it's hard to do. That is a hard thing to do. And one of the things that I think we have all basically said in some form or fashion today is like, you can't let, you know, running up against one of those walls on a short-term basis, you know, you can't let that be the final evaluation.
Yeah. I mean, don't set yourself up to fail. Like, understand that there's more way to your goal. There's more than one way to your goal.
Yeah. All right. That was a nice conversation. So let's muck it up with an apology. Pierce, what are you sorry for this week?
So this is related to goals. One thing that since I was pretty young, I've been mindful of and told not to do and thought about critically is like complaining about things. If you're going to complain about something, you should have a solution in mind. One thing I have frequently complained about over the years, and the solution was always there, was I felt like my eyesight was deteriorating. And I know that I've wailed to at least two of you, maybe all of you before, that, oh, I'm going blind. I can't see anything. I wasn't actually going blind, but I did feel like my eyes were deteriorating, loudly complaining about this. Now, there's been a solution the whole time, and I have talked about it, and I have done it before, but it has been a long time, which is, okay, go see somebody who specializes in that particular problem, which is typically people go to an optometrist, a thing that I will never do again. I went to an ophthalmologist, mm-hmm. On the recommendation of an ophthalmologist that I know that is in residence here. So I went a few weeks ago to an ophthalmologist. I was going to tell you all the results, but I was waiting for this. And I'm not complaining for failing to go until this time. No. So I went, they sat with me, they did looked at my eyes, did a screening, asked me all these things, looked at the tables, did the different things. I go in, they dilated my eyes. That has never happened to me before. I do not recommend it. I don't recommend that.
It's a part of regular eye care. What?
No one has ever done that before. This is part of the reason why I'm never going to an optometrist again. So they sit with me. They check my eyes. They took me very seriously. And they said, you're 20/20 in this eye. You're 20/15 in the other eye. Stop. they're like, here are some eye drops. You stare at screens too much. Your eyes are tired. That's why you can't see. And so I apologize to you all because I really didn't have anything to complain about. My problem is the world that exists and we live and work in. So speaking of goals, I'm going to try to start using those. I've tried to use them. Sometimes I forget, but part of it is just like giving myself a break. I don't have to read everything every day, but yeah, there isn't anything really wrong. So sorry for complaining so much.
As someone who has had corrective lenses since the year 2000, if not fall 1999, screw And I cannot stress this enough. I
cannot stress
you.
This yeah. Here are my little. I'm sure these are like very expensive eye drops, but I'm gonna.
I just don't need anything.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd recommend everybody who doesn't even have corrective lenses to go get some eye drops.
You should still probably go and get your eyes screened.
Even I mean, like,
I'll go every 2 years, though. Let me see what the bill's going to be, because I don't know yet.
I have been delinquent in doing this in the, you know, this is largely due to the pandemic and, you know, changing kind of how we all sort of approached doctor visits and that sort of stuff. But like from 2000 until 2020. I got my eyes dilated every single year. You do it as part of an eye exam.
Yeah, Julia does it too. Or she did. She just got LASIK, so.
So I will be doing it soon because I am about out of contacts and haven't gotten a new pair of glasses in like 5 years. And hopefully what I will be told is that my prescription is the same anyway. Like nothing seems like it's changed about my eyesight, but yeah, you have to when you are in the eye care system, that is a regular part of your life. So this is my sister and I give a similar level of shit to my brother, who did not have to have braces or any sort of orthodontic care. Yeah. All right. Well, now that we've gotten through that, you know, what do I have by way of a big idea from pop culture this week? I haven't really been going out of my way to find new stuff. I've been kind of been preoccupied by the fact that I am buying a car, and going to pick it up Thursday morning. Cool. But. You know what? The artist Bully, who is a favorite, just recently, like maybe a couple weeks ago, released a track called Atom Bomb. And it's like a very moving piano and voice song that I really, really enjoy. And Emily and I just sort of watched the first season of Shrinking on Apple TV not too long ago. And they introduced the concept of like venting your sadness and rage by listening to sad music for 15 minutes and just like concentrating all of your sadness and crying and anger into that time. And this would be a pretty elite song for that, I think. So, that's my big idea from pop culture. Nothing to do with the car. The car doesn't matter. So, now that we've done that, Kevin, close us out with a trivia question.
Yeah. So, scared you guys a bit with the category being first lady facts. However, I guess it's a question about government programs. So in 1982, when Bess Truman died, she had been enrolled in this government program for about 17 years, longer than anyone else. So, Sean, why don't you start since you are trailing at the moment?
All right. So I have taken to wagering 100 because I've realized I don't lose out at all because I can't go into the negatives. And I think there was basically only two realistic possible answers. And I got myself spun up over the wording, specifically the use of the verb enrolled. So my choice of the two was Medicare.
Okay, Max.
I said Social Security.
That was the other one.
25 points.
So if I can give my answer and respond to a couple things that are going here. So Social Security, the program started, I believe, in the FDR era. It was a New Deal program, which would mean longer than 17 years. In 1965, during LBJ's presidency, I forget, Great Society programs, you had Medicare and Medicaid come online. Medicaid is often in the news because certain states, including the state I live in, are complete assholes and won't allow people at a certain relationship to the federal poverty line to get health care, even though the government says, hey, we'll pay for it. You just have to give it out at the state level. That's Medicaid. Medicare goes to people who are retired, 1965, 17 years. Bess Truman was presumably 65 or older, whatever the marker was at that time. So I guess Medicare, based off of that thinking.
Yeah, well, that's Medicare is right. So yeah, I mean, I think again with Jeopardy questions, there's tends to be multiple ways you can get there. I think Sean's way was maybe an intended way, and then knowing the Social Security, knowing it's one of those two, and knowing Social Security was you know, FDR helps. 17 years meaning she enrolled at 65, which is when Medicare, that's when you can start getting it, whereas Social Security you can start getting it at 62. So anyway, I thought it was a fun question, but Medicare is the answer. So Max moves into last place. Pierce holds on to his lead, however, still refuses to try to double up. So everyone's still in.
We went over earlier at the start of this. I don't really know how numbers work. I really got spun off. I was like, 1-6 becomes.
If you would have wagered all of your points to every question thus far, you'd probably have quite the lead. So.
Yeah, I made it interesting. It's like, you know, UVA basketball. Why get out to a big lead? We can keep it interesting. Just stay in the 40s the whole time.
Oh, boy. All right. That's the end of the show. You can find us at our home on the web, www.prettyokpod.com, or you can subscribe to the show feed on your podcast app of choice. I believe we will be off for at least 1 week while we go on our company retreat, as it were, but we'll be back again soon to talk about something else. Until then, I'm Sean.
I'm Pierce.
I'm Max.
I'm Kevin.
Thanks for listening. Bye.